that. That was outstanding. Outstanding. If you can't preach after that, there's no preach in you. No doubt about it. I love that song. Amen. I love that song. That is a great song. It's all right now. I like it. I'm telling you. I've got it in me today. You know what I mean? Amen. I love that, Brother Stover. Yes. Yes. I love that when you slide down off that note there at the end, too. That's good. Yes. Amen. Can you tell I like that song? How many of y'all like that song? Did you raise your hand? Wasn't that a good one? Hey, that was a good one. That's not a good one. That's a good one is what that is right there. Praise the Lord for it. Acts chapter 14 this morning. Acts chapter 14. Wasn't it a blessing to honor the bus ministry today? And what a blessing it is. And we praise the Lord for those bus workers and Brother John as he leads that ministry. And all those children, all these teenagers and these adults riding the buses and those that keep the buses rolling, Kermit and Doug, and keeping those things going. Praise the Lord for all of it, I'm telling you. And appreciate Kermit and Doug and keeping them buses up and going. Praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for it. I'm telling you, it's been good to be in the house of God today. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord and to know it's all right now. You know what I mean? Very good. I'm not going to read any of these verses to get us started, because I'm going to read these verses as we work through this passage together. As you found your place here, let me just say a couple of things to you before I get started preaching. We're excited about our Spanish ministry. And this dear young couple that the Lord has brought to us, they're commuting every weekend from Knoxville, David and Samantha Velasquez. And I want to encourage you, if you know of Spanish-speaking people, maybe you live next to somebody, or maybe you work with somebody, or maybe you know of an area in the Tri-Cities that you say, I know there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people that live in that trailer park or that live in that apartment complex. Would you do us a favor? Would you turn those names and those areas into us? Now, I would rather have it turned in five times than not turned in once, if you understand what I mean to you. So help us get some prospects, all of this. We praise the Lord for those that are over there today. They've got a good crowd over there today, a good base and all of this. But we want that ministry to grow. So help us. So if you know areas or know people, you help us with that. And yesterday, some of you may be aware of this, some of you may not, but Miss Julia Garst was out making visits with this young couple and fell and broke her arm. So she is at home. And I'd like to, for this church to really love on her, taking meals to her and all of that. Now, she has a no-sodium diet. When I found that out, I was reminded this morning, I wrote back to Mrs. Payne, who stayed with her last night, and said, do donuts have sodium in them? She just didn't write anything. She just wrote back, well, just put three smiley faces. But anyway, so I throw that out to you. What a servant of God. Precious, precious lady. And now she's broken her arm. I really think she did this just to get some sympathy, but all of this. She's probably watching maybe right now, hear this later. Some people do anything to stay out of church and, you know, all of these kind of things. I'm just in one of my moods, Daniel. You know what I mean? You can tell that, can't you? I've got something to say. That's exactly right. It's all right now. I like that. It's all right now. It's getting out of hand. Let's reel it in this morning, okay? I'm beginning a message this morning. Probably will not get through it. I know that shocks you. But I'm going to try to get as far as I can today on a sermon on these opening 18 verses of chapter 14 of the book of Acts. And I've entitled this just simply, Lessons to Learn From. Lessons to Learn From. We're preaching on the opening 18 verses of Acts chapter 14. This is our New Testament book. We've preached all the way through chapter 13. We begin in chapter 14. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this service? Speak to our hearts. Thank you for your goodness to us. Fill us with the power of God. And may you be pleased with everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I were to read all 18 of these verses, and throughout this passage, I'm going to read maybe most of them, maybe all of them. But if we read it all together, as I summarize this, you'll read how Paul and Barnabas are in Iconium, the place called Iconium. And the Bible says that together they went into the synagogue and they preached. Now, as a result of their preaching, many were saved, but others were in opposition. They ended up leaving Iconium and going to Lystra and Derbe. This is all in these verses here, where they also preached the gospel. Now, while they're in Lystra, you'll find in these verses that when they were there, there was a crippled man who was listening to Paul. This man had never walked a day in his life. And Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed, and Paul told him, "Stand up." When he did this, the Bible says the man leaped and walked. And as a result of this miracle, the people tried to worship Paul, and they tried to worship Barnabas. But instead, Paul and Barnabas refused their worship and tried to point them to the living God that they were trying to get him to consider. Now, when you consider this story, and I just summarized it quickly there for you, but there are several things throughout these verses that we can learn from. And we can apply these truths to our lives today. Simple things, but yet things that we need to learn today. Now let's dig in here. All of these begin with D, okay? I do this when I can, not all the time, but when I can, I do this just to help you remember a little bit. The first lesson we learn from, number one, we learn from the delivery. You say, what's that mean? Look at verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now here's what I mean. The Bible teaches us that Paul and Barnabas go together into this synagogue in Iconium. Now notice the two words, and they so spake. They so spake that as a result of their speaking, there were many of the Jews and the Gentiles that believe. May I say this? The little word so is a big deal. Can I say that again? Where it says, and they so spake. That little word so is a big deal. That means this: not only what they said, but the manner in which they said it helped bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't just speak the gospel, they so spoke the gospel. Now stay with me here. The little word so suggests not the message delivered, but the manner in which it was given. Not what was said, but how it was said. The message of God's saving grace should excite a minister and stir his heart to the point where he will convince those who hear him that his message is something to be excited about. You know, if a politician can become excited about politics, and if lecturers can become excited about the subjects on which they lecture, if excitement can come to any other walk of life, then surely the greatest message known in heaven or in earth should excite those who deliver it. The message of salvation by grace. Many agree that the point here is that they spoke the truth. That's good. Amen. Speak the truth. But they spoke it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This is no doubt what we need as we present the greatest message that's ever given. One man put it this way. You've heard the tale of the little boy who was asked which was heavier. Now this is a trick thing, okay? Which was heavier, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead? Without hesitation, this boy replied that of course a pound of lead was heavier than a pound of feathers. His questioner laughed at his ignorance. But a short while after, the man who had asked him the question was standing beneath the window of the boy's home. Now you know where this is going, don't you? So the lad went upstairs, got a feather pillow from a bed, and then a lead weight. First he dropped the pillow on the man's head. Then the piece of lead. Then he said, "Now you tell me which is heavier, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead?" Now, he's a smart aleck. He probably should have, you know, somebody should have taken care of it. But we're learning here. See, theoretically, they weigh the same, but not actually. The lead is heavier because it's concentrated into a more compact form and thus falls with increased force. And even so, our ministry is more effective if it comes with spiritual passion, divine power, and freshness from the Holy Spirit of God. Do you understand this first point, what I'm trying to say? It is good to give the truth, but it's also good to give it in the right way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, the Apostle Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." See, God wants us not only to give the right message, but to give it in the right way, the right manner. The Bible says they so spake the gospel. They didn't just speak it, they so spake the gospel. Now, what's the lesson here? The lesson is that we learn that it's important not only what we say. It is important what we say, but it's equally important how we say it. Do you know this not only applies to the gospel, it also applies to other things in life. It applies to marriage. It applies to raising children. You know, sometimes parents are, and I've been guilty of this. Have your kids ever made you mad? Those in the home. Sometimes those out of the home, right? But those in the home. Have they ever defied you? Have they ever disobeyed you? Now, this is not for my children, especially my son who's listening to this. This is not a license for this, but isn't that a normal thing for a human being? We're all sinners. But doesn't it just bother you whenever you tell your child or something like, now I'm not necessarily talking from, I said necessarily because I don't remember any specific points, but this has probably happened in my home where I say something to one of my children and they don't do it. You know, I can say this, son, daughter, I've got three of them. By the way, I'm going to get him right here. I'm completely off the subject, but you all get a kick out of this. Many of you, I've already shared this with many of you. This week was my wife's birthday. We took her out to eat. Have you all know Mickey Archer? Would you raise your hand? You know Mickey Archer? Isn't he a blessing? Amen. I mean that in both ways. You know, like he's a blessing and isn't he a blessing? You know what I mean? Jalen and George were sitting in the back seat and Jalen took a dollar bill out, showed her the picture of George Washington and said, Joy, who is that? Joy, my four-year-old, said, Mr. Mickey? That's what she said. He heard that somewhere. I know I'm going to get this later. But anyway, where am I at? You know, sometimes a mom, a dad can say the right thing, but their spirit stinks. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across in this first point? You can be right in what you say and wrong in how you say it. God wants you to say the right thing in the right spirit. And we learn, this is one of the lessons we learn here. They so spake the gospel that it had an impact. Are we so speaking the gospel that it affects people? That's the interpretation here, an application. But another application is, are we so speaking the truth to our loved ones, to our wife, to our husband, not our, but you understand what I'm saying to you, our wife, our mate, our friends, our co-workers, do we say the right thing that's good? Say truth. Speak the truth. But speak it in what? Love. Amen, friends. This is a great lesson to learn. Let me give you a second lesson. Not only do we learn from the delivery, but number two, we learn from the division. Now, I do not plan to dwell long here, but look at verse number two. But the unbelieving Jews, now this is after people are, as people are believing, verse number one, verse two. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Here it is. But the multitude of the city was, there it is, divided. They were divided. Part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Now the next thing we learn from here is how the preaching of the truth led to a divided city, the Bible says. The city was divided. Verse 4 tells us this plainly. In other words, while there were those who received the truth, there were also others who rejected it. And verse number 2 tells us that the unbelieving Jews here stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. As it's been said, whenever the devil sees the work of God beginning to flourish, he will throw up a roadblock. He always does. You show me a ministry, whether it be a church or whether it be a ministry in the church or whether it be a family, what you show me somebody or something that God's hand is on. He's blessing it. It's growing. I mean, God's touching it, and it's obvious. The devil will put a roadblock up. Mark it down. And here's the point here. Now, what's the lesson we learn? Here's the lesson. We should not be shocked when some don't want it. And we should just keep on going for God. That's what they did right here. The Bible says in verse number 3, notice it now, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. They just stayed right in the middle of it. And just a long time just kept on boldly preaching for the Lord Jesus Christ. All I'm saying to you is this. The devil is a mastermind at trying to make you think that if things aren't going your way, something's wrong with you. Or maybe you need to change methods. Folks, the devil is still the devil. He hates the truth. And when you preach the truth, teach the truth, and God's blessing you, the devil's going to try to knock you off course. Listen to this from John Wesley's diary. John Wesley with the Lord, mighty man of God. Listen to what his diary said. Listen to this. Sunday a.m. May the 5th. Preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5th, same day, preached in St. John's, deacon said get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, 1 week later, preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May the 19th, preached in St. somebody else's. I'm just reading right here, somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m. May 19th, preached on street, kicked off street. Sunday a.m. May 26th, preached in meadow, chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during service. I'm reading directly here. They turned a bull loose on him. Sunday a.m. June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m. June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came out to hear me. How much did he have to persevere through to get to the 10,000 people? Could it be that the devil knew about the 10,000 people that were going to come? Could it be that he was trying on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night for weeks to get that man of God to stop? But he would not quit. And he's one of the rare names that you know when you hear it, isn't he? Now, folks, it's not always going to be a bed of roses. If you think it is, you will not make it. You know what this is? This is a pastor preparing his people. That it's not always going to be smiles and donuts. Amen. Sometimes it's going to be sour. Sometimes it's going to get hard, and not everybody is for us. If you've not figured that out now, folks, you fell off the wagon somewhere along the road. This is the second thing. What's the lesson? Don't be thrown off course when division comes. It's to be expected. And when you're doing something for God, expect it. Now, that doesn't mean you go around looking around every bush and, oh, I wonder if today's a day. It's going to be terrible. No. But here's the lesson. Understand, not everybody wants it. And if they respond wrong, you just stay the course. Keep going. Now, folks, listen. That's a good lesson to learn right there. Let me give you a third lesson to learn. I may get to four of these. I don't know. Give the last two maybe tonight. There's a third lesson we learn. This almost sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. May the Holy Spirit give us wisdom here. Not only do we learn a lesson from the delivery of the message, they so spake, and it matters what we say and how we say it. We not only learn a lesson right here from the division of the city, but number three, we learn a lesson from the departure. You see this in verse 5 and 6. Notice this. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it. Can I put it this way? They were made aware of it. You can put that phrase in parentheses and say the grace of God. God made sure that Paul and Barnabas knew they're going to kill you. They want to kill you. They were aware of it, notice this now, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now you said, wait a minute, you just said to stay in there and stay the course, and they did. Even when they left, they're found doing the same thing in other cities. They never quit on God. But that place quit on the message of the truth. And when that place quit and they turned their attack on the messenger, God was not done with Paul. God was not done with Barnabas. Even though Paul will die a martyr's death, not in that city, that was not God's will. So God spoke to them and said, get out. Now, folks, there's a lesson here. I'm going to repeat some of this, okay? In these verses, there came the time when the opposition intensified to the point that they were seeking to use them despitefully and stone them. It's been said again, we learned the enemy's serious about stopping God's work. He is. The forces of evil are not like so many Christians who simply play church or go through the motions. Evil is energetic, aggressive, and goes all out to accomplish its goal. If Christians did that, the church would quickly be doing a lot more than it is. Can I get an amen there, please? In other words, if we were as energetic as the devil's crowd, there'd be something happening in the United States of America today. As this crowd's evil plot grew, Barnabas and Paul became aware of it. That's the blessing of God. God told them. It doesn't tell us how, but they became aware of it. God gave them that knowledge. And they fled into Lystra and Derbe. Now the point is this. They stayed as long as they could without putting themselves in harm's way, in a dumb way. They left and ministered elsewhere. Now look here, please. That's not weakness. That's wisdom. Now if God tells you to stay put, stay put. But God made them aware of it, so they knew they needed to get out. Don't you see that, friends? You never see God say, stay the course and trust Jesus Christ. Excuse me, friends, we do trust Jesus. We know our life's in His hands. But let me tell you what that dear man of God's taught me a lot about. He's told me this, Jody, just use your common horse sense, son. Whatever in the world that means, I don't know yet, but use your common horse sense. That means this, you have a head, use it. And if you know if I walk through that door, they're going to blow my head off. If I go through that door, I'm going to have the opportunity to keep on going for God, do something for God. Don't say, I'm just going to trust God and stare a shotgun right down the barrel. That's ridiculous. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is using your common sense and following the Lord. Now, folks, this may appear like weakness to some, but it's not. It's wisdom. They had proven who they were by abiding a long time. They had already abided right in the middle of it, right in the teeth of the opposition, a long time. Even though the hostilities were constant, but now the hostilities were turning violent, and now it was time to leave. Fleeing can be weakness. It can be weakness. But it can also be wisdom. And here, no doubt, it was wisdom. You know, the hour comes when continuance in peril is not faithfulness, it's foolhardiness. Not commendable martyr zeal, but censorable indiscretion. Now, that's why I can't tell you, listen, if somebody comes to me and says, should I stay? I can't answer that. Only the Holy Spirit can answer this. Only God can tell you, stay. See, God told them for a while, don't you move. And for a long time, boldly, they just right in the face of it, they preached the Word of God. But there came the time, when, and personally, I believe it's because God had left the door open and left it open and left it open, and that opposition was intensifying, and now they were going to kill them, going to stone them. So God said, they're going to kill you. Go on somewhere else. Give somebody else a chance. I'm not done with you. Go forth. Do you get what I'm preaching here, friends? You need God's wisdom to know when to do that. Only God can tell you. By the way, this all comes back to a daily walk with God. If you're not where God can speak to you, you're endangering your own life. Because you may stay somewhere that God tells you to leave. Or you may leave somewhere that God never wanted you to leave. Walk with God. The point here is that God has given His children common sense. He really has. And obviously the Lord has to lead His children when to stay and when to go, but when it's made known that a certain course is certain death, it could be wisdom to go another way.
Somewhere, I'll tell you one thing, I'll just take my, nobody's going to tell me, I'm just going to march right in the middle of it and just trust the Lord. Yeah, and get to heaven, and God said, what were you doing? Amen. Amen. It's like that story, I don't remember all of this, but and it's a fabricated thing, I think. But the man that, and I'm going completely off my notes here, so this is dangerous. But this will get the thought across. It goes something along this line. So if I miss some of this, don't come. He lied today. Listen, it's an illustration, okay? It gets the thought across. There's flooding taking place. The man was crawling upstairs and finally got up on the roof and was asking God to save him. Not long, here come a boat. Come on in. No, I'm trusting God to save me. Now, you know where this is going, don't you? Water's getting higher and higher. Helicopter comes. Lowers a ladder or something. Says, come on, grab it. We'll get you out of here. No, I'm praying and trusting God. The man dies. Ask the Lord. Thought you said you cared for me. You promised to take care of me. I prayed and you didn't answer my prayer. I trusted you to deliver me. God said, what are you talking about? I sent a boat and a helicopter and you said no to it. It's the same thought that I'm trying to get across. Don't bypass the boat and the helicopter that God is in. And then blame God if you think He didn't answer your prayers. Now it takes wisdom to understand this. That's the third lesson, okay? I do realize I may have gotten some of those details off, but anyway, I got the point across, right? Amen. Preachers should tell true stories. That is a story that I think is fabricated, but anyway, it gets the message across. Let me give you a fourth thing, and we'll conclude here. Pick up here tonight, okay? God willing. We not only learn from the delivery of the message, not only what they said, but how they said it is important. The division that some are going to say no, but you stay the course as long as you can. From the departure, there does come a time when God says, wait a minute, now I've told you, if you go to the left, you're going to die. you can still go to the right and have and listen, end up where I want you to be, serving God. Then don't take your chances to the left. Go to the right. Then there's a fourth thing. And we learn a lesson here from the devotion. The devotion. Now this is found in verse number 7. I've already kind of alluded to this, but this is something here just that God spoke to my heart. Verse 1, delivery of the message. 2, 3, and 4, divided. 5 and 6, right there, they are departing because God made them where. And then number 7, verse 7, what did they do when they got there? And there they preached the gospel. Let me ask you a question. What did they do in Iconium? They preached the gospel. What got them in trouble? Preaching the gospel. What did God use to save people? The preaching of the gospel. It's a blessing to read how when Barnabas and Paul fled Iconium, they went to other cities and just did the same thing. In other words, they didn't change methods. Boy, could I ever preach right here or not? There are churches today who have left the method of Bible preaching and they're building churches with other methods. Look here, please, not this church. We're not going that way. We're going to stay preaching and teaching the Word of God because that method is God's method. And even though it got them in trouble and they almost got stoned for it, by the way, Paul will be stoned here in the same chapter, okay? Even though, you may have stones flying at you, some of them are going to say yes, thank God for that. Some of them are going to say no. Some of them are going to lie about you. Some of them are going to abuse you. Some of them are going to try to kill you. What does God expect you to do? Just be faithful. Easier said than done. They didn't change methods, but rather they just kept on preaching the same message. There was no opposition or persecution going to deter them from preaching the gospel. They were devoted to the Lord and His message of deliverance. I like what one man said. He said there was no place where Paul was afraid to preach the gospel. He preached the gospel in Athens, the intellectual capital of the world, and was mocked. He preached the gospel at Jerusalem, the religious capital of the world, and was mobbed. He preached the gospel at Rome, the political capital of the world, and was martyred. But he preached the gospel. The lesson here, the lessons to learn, we're learning a lesson under each one of these points. Here's the lesson here. We do not need new methods. We need a return to God's pattern for ministry. Let us determine to be devoted to the Lord and His message of deliverance for a lost and dying world, no matter how they respond. May I say this to you? There may come a day when this country turns completely. Now, it's turning now. But we do have some folks who still love God in this country. There may come a day when, I'm talking about the government, turns completely against God and against the truth of the gospel and even threatens the preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to sound proud. God knows my heart. Don't put any confidence in the flesh. I'm not doing that, so don't take this wrong. But I am trusting if that ever comes to this country that the Holy Spirit of God will so empower your pastor that I don't care what they do to me, they're not changing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I mean that with the utmost respect, no confidence in me. The Holy Ghost of God would have to empower me to do that. Because in the flesh, we will cower. But in the power of the Spirit, we will never cower. We will go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. The personal soul winner will have doors slammed in his face. I'm quoting from John R. Rice. He said he will tend to be discouraged. He will be abused. He will often seem to fail. But God still intends that he shall press on in getting out the gospel.
Jesus came into a world that would crucify him, and so he sends us forth into the same world to tell sinners how he loves them, to tell them of the judgment of God on sin. Some will be saved, some will ignore us, some will oppose us. And if we preach in power and interfere with ungodly lives, some will hate us and try to kill us. The holy resolution in the hearts of Paul and Barnabas seemed to be summed up about as follows, and I quote, "Don't be surprised at persecution. Don't get killed." Amen. Don't get killed, but don't be discouraged. Better to run away and preach again somewhere else. Don't delay. Just go to the next door. Amen. I like that statement. I like that statement. What are we learning today? What did we learn today?
I didn't learn anything. I learned Mickey looks like George Washington, but other than that, I didn't learn anything. Let me go back here. I'm not going to re-preach this. Everybody said amen, right? Lesson number one today. Well, listen, title of the sermon, Lessons to Learn From. Lesson number one, delivery. It does matter how you say it. It matters what you say. Say the truth. But say it in the right spirit. Say, so speak that it impacts people. The power of the Holy Spirit. Two, division. Will everybody be receptive? Yes or no? No. You don't need to be knocked off course when they're not. Say, it happened to Paul. It happened to Barnabas. Wait a minute. They crucified Jesus. And just stay the course as long as you can in that place. Lesson number three, departure. God has given us common horse sense. And when he makes you aware of things, sometimes it's wisdom to leave and, excuse me, stupidity to stay. God has to tell you when and where. You understand that. Lesson four, devotion. No matter if you're in Iconium or if you're running for your life to Lystra, the message is the same in both places. Don't change the message. Don't change the truth. Don't change the method. Now, I'm not against trying new things within the boundaries of Scripture, folks. But God's way has always been by the foolishness of preaching. He saves those who are lost. And God wants the Word of God to be preached and taught in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's four lessons. There's two more in these verses. They are great lessons. I'm going to devote an entire sermon to them tonight. If you can be, you'll be back in God's house tonight. God will be pleased with that. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would you bless and help us as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And we are plowing through the New Testament book of the book of Acts. We're asking God to speak to us, to give us wisdom. Maybe today God is speaking to you from this message. Or maybe God spoke to you in the music today. Maybe God spoke to you in the children and the teenagers and the adults and the bus ministry. Whatever he did, whatever he used, give him glory, give him praise. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Now, I wonder today, first of all, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know there's been a time where you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Do you know if you die just like you are that heaven is your home? If you say, Jody, I don't know that. Pastor, I don't know that. May I say something to you? You can before you leave. You know what? It all starts with you getting honest. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me? I'm not even sure I'm going to heaven. I cannot say I know that, but I sure wish I could. I cannot say I do, but I wish I could. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, balcony down below? You say, pray for me. I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. I'm not even sure I'm saved. Anybody like that? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. But God used something in the message today, and I'm not going to get specific with you, but maybe He used how you speak. Maybe He's talking to a mom or dad that you've been saying the right thing to your children, but God has said your spirit's not been right. You've been speaking in anger or something like that. Or maybe God's speaking to you about giving the truth, but giving it in the right spirit. Having the power of God on your life, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Or maybe God is using this division part where not everybody's going to say yes, and it's not always going to be great. And God's just whispering in your heart, I know it's hard, but just stay the course. Or maybe God is telling somebody it's time to leave. Maybe it's a place or something going on, and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, you know, I'm making you aware of this, because if you stay around that place or stay around that person, they're just going to drag you down. And it's time to go to somebody else. Now, only God can tell you that. Only God. And you need to make sure it is God telling you that. Or maybe God is using this devotion lesson that no matter where they went, no matter what their life was suffering, they just kept on doing the same thing. They just kept on preaching the truth of the gospel. Come what may, they were not going to change methods. Come what may, they were going to stay the course. How many today say, Jody, God used something in this service? It could have been the bus kids. It could have been the message. It could have been the music. But God used something today to encourage you, to challenge you, convict you, help you in some way. If God helped you in this service, would you raise your hand? You say, God, help me today. Yes, thank you. You can put your hand down. I want to invite you to come. If nothing else, just to say thank you, God, for taking a service and speaking to me. Thank you, God, for helping me. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. And I'm going to open the invitation, open the altar. Be a good time just to come spend some time with the Lord. As He sings, as soon as He says the first word, you get out of your seat and come. Father, take and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. He's singing. If God's speaking to you, would you come? Come now, please.
Have thine own way.
Say, God, help me today.
Lord, have thine
come and tell Him.
Way.
Come say, thank you, God,
thou
for speaking. Thank you, God, for helping me. Even if you don't come to the altar, I hope you're making an altar of your seat right there with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just to say thank you, God, for helping me today. I needed this. I needed this. I needed this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're playing through. People are praying. I'd like all the deacons to stand for just a moment. All the deacons that are in this auditorium, I'd like you to stand for just a moment. I know some may be serving out elsewhere this morning. I'd like you to look at me just a moment. I love you, men. You're a blessing to me. And I'm telling you because you need to hear this again. You already know it. But I'm telling you that your pastor is devoted to staying with the Bible method, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And I know every one of you agree with that. And I salute you for that. God has built a great team here. And it's good every now and then for the pastor just to encourage you. Let's stay the course and go forward. And you pray for your pastor. I know you do, and I appreciate it. I'm praying for you. Praying for your families. May God help us to stay true to the Bible. Amen. May God help us to stay true to the Bible. And I appreciate you so much. I felt led to do that this morning. I love you all. Thank God for you and your wives and children. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I remind you of the brief meeting we have tonight at 6:15 with the deacons. Just one missionary item. That'd be good. I remind all the senior saints this morning, there's a meeting for you in the blue room right after this service this morning, a senior saint. If you consider yourself such, you're welcome to go to that meeting in the blue room this morning, okay? My brother Daniel, if you wouldn't mind to come up here, Daniel, just so our folks who are listening live can listen to you. He's going to conclude us in prayer. If you're visiting with us, please go get your special gift, drop your card off. Be back tonight now. Thank you for coming. He'll dismiss us in prayer.
That you've given to us today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts through your word. Thank you for giving us your word, and thank you for our pastor. I pray that you'd help him as he continues to go forward, and help us as a church to follow him, to do your work, to deliver the message, to go through the hard times, Lord, and stay faithful to you, to move on when it's time to move on, and to go do the same thing that we've always been doing, wherever it is that you send us. Lord, I pray you'd use our church. I pray that you would do a great work in us so you can do a great work through us. Give us safety as we travel to home or to where we go this afternoon, and bring us all safely back this evening, and help this church to do your work as they go throughout the week. I pray these things in your name. Amen.